as you interlap the two.
Now stretch them right as
soccer and the
quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
I felt like a reptile, like a reptile. I felt like a reptile.
I think we're the same for Father's Day. Sorry, same for Mother's Day in the UK and different for Father's
Secret,
Day.
The second, go ahead. The second Sunday of May, it is Mother's Day.
Right.
I mean, most everywhere I know.
Really?
I think ours is April or something. Is that all good? Yeah. Awesome. I am so...
You want to close the door?
Yeah,
let's do that. Go ahead.
Perfect. All right, rolling. I am so excited to be here. I wanted to do this for a long time.
I'm excited to have you here for a long... waiting for this for a long time.
Right, we've been talking about doing a podcast every time I see you on the road.
And yes.
I see you on the road quite regularly.
Yes, a lot of the times, yes. But we always busy, you know, doing something, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, not only the podcast, but you training.
Training
back,
as well.
Back to train, back to fighting. I believe people is going to be extremely happy to see that happen.
Yeah.
You know, you are a legend on the sport, and everybody knows who you are. Just a matter of, you know, people be watching you again. Better than before.
Better than before, yeah. Well, I mean, that's probably a good place to start, because every time I do a conversation, a Q&A or an interview or anything, it's always one of the first questions I get.
And I think it's going to haunt you all the time.
All the time.
Yes, that's good.
Yeah.
That is the good thing about that. Because they know you, you know, as much as you're doing a great job now as an analyst and commentating and everything, I think then the fighter, it's like I told you, we have the virus on the DNA, it's in the blood. We're going to die and we're going to be... The first thing that is going to come to your mind, I'm dying, but man, I wish I could fight.
But you said you never retire. You'll never officially retire. You'll always be a fighter.
I never... I think that I'm kind of afraid to say that because I really never went public and I say, I'm not going to fight anymore. I don't enjoy that sentence. I don't enjoy that words. I don't... You know, and I'm blessed because... My job and what I do is still linked to fighting, MMA, and everything that I love with passion. So kind of a push me away to say, you know, I'm retired. I don't know. Maybe, who knows, they came out with the MMA seniors. I'll be able to do it.
MMA masters.
Masters, MMA seniors, whatever.
Seniors, veterans.
I think I'm even close to the seniors than the masters. Which one comes first?
Huh? I don't know.
The masters and seniors... believe it's masters and seniors.
Okay. So you've passed straight through masters.
I believe I've already passed the masters.
Well, tell me about your early career, because you started before MMA was MMA. It wasn't MMA when you started.
It was Vale Tudo, right? It was anything goes.
Anything goes.
Yeah, no rules. Anything goes. Pretty much no gloves, no time limit. The only thing that, you know, probably was as a rules on the fighting was no gouging, no eye gouging, no poking, and
fish hooking, things
like usually, you know, you don't fight like that, but pretty much it was no sanction. It was like pretty much against the law, you know. Fighting was a kind of a criminal status, you know what I mean? Mm. Everybody would see fighting like, man, that is, you know, two guys get in the cage and throwing punches and try to kill themselves. That's kind of a bad thing. I have a front page on New York Times from 1994. There was a question. There was me mounting on the Russian on my first tournament in MMA, saying then that is no science. Pretty much, you know, kind of a minimizing us, you know, make us feel like, you know, criminals or in, you know, to any, feel like an animal kind of sport. I still have that page to today, but you see, it is a science. It's exactly the opposite way. It is a science.
But when you started, I mean, like the very early days, the Carlson Gracie days, that is when you think of old school MMA and you think of Carlson Gracie and that team, I mean, that... for me, that shaped the sport of MMA in many, many ways. The way that you guys prepared, the way that you guys showed up to put performances together. What were the early days? How did you get into MMA in the beginning?
Let me get back a little bit even more than what you're saying, because my time, even if it was an old time, I got to go back to Carson Gracie's time when he was 17 years old and he was challenging everybody on 60s, I believe, and around that years. I mean, he was already doing MMA. He was the one and the only one in the family then was fighting what are we doing today. So it's back, you know, it's 60, I don't know how many years, you know, if you count from 62 right now, it's going to be a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
But that is the contamination then we had from him. So that vision, the way then he fought with different styles, no time limit, no gloves, nothing. So that is exactly what he passed to us. And you know, I had I was blessed to be on that time with him. Then he was coaching, teaching. He was a mentor. So. Like everybody knows, a lot of the good coaches today come from Carson Gracie's team. Mm. You know, the majority are, if it's not directly from him, it is indirectly from him. So, I don't know. I think that there is answer the question. It's been some time.
Yeah. Why do you think he was so far ahead of his game? Even at 16, why do you think he knew that he had to mix all of the martial arts together?
I do believe that his first vision, maybe I gotta say like that. The reason why he was so advanced from everybody was because he was such an open mind. He never let the jiu-jitsu only care everything. It was a big part. It was through that, but not everything. You know, as who he was, a legend. I don't think legend probably would be the word to say it. He probably is more than that. But was in his mind, in his vision, then he saw that MMA is just more than one style. It's not only that you have to learn about and fluent, not only learn about everything, but speak fluent about everything, but how to mix everything. That was always his, you know, his advice. Mm. It's not only that you have a jiu-jitsu background, but you have to make the boxing your background, you have to make the kickboxing background. Everything has something, then you gotta mix and combine everything. Mm. So, I mean, he was 6 years old and I was, you know, he was telling us that. You know, that's the way he fought, that's the way he saw fighting. That's the way he faced his opponents when he was, you know, a young fighter.
Yeah. And did you know at the time that you were in a special place, that there was something special going on with that team?
Oh, of course he has. I mean, it was pretty much Carson, he divided himself, not in the bad way, but because his vision, his opinion, he always was, you know, he didn't think then I gotta save this for my family. No, you can, you know, that is a public. You can't have just your family coming to the school. It's people coming to learn from you. So in some point, it's no secrets. It's nothing. Then you're going to just keep to yourself. I mean, you're going to select what you're going to coach. And he always had this love with people. You know, he was like, if you're good, and it doesn't matter your last name, who you are, but he sees potential, he sees the talent, he sees the motivation, he'll be teaching you, he'll be, you know, coaching you. So I kind of grew up on that environment. Then was people from everywhere, but in the end of the day, everybody was Carson Gracie's team.
Yeah.
So I think that is so strong on me. You know, like I tell my guys, I say, I don't care if from Japan, China, any country. And then at the end of the day, your last name is American Top Team. And that's what I care.
Yeah. And what were those early days like? Who were your training partners? Who were the guys that you were seeing on the mat every day? I mean, I know you're going to throw a load of superstar names at us, but just for my benefit, I want to know who you are with.
I would say then, as in Carson Gracie School, was I mean, from old to young, Murillo, Bebel, Amaury Bitati, Validi, and going on. You know, I mean, my training partner was Mario for, you know, MMA, was Victor Belfort. I mean,
a young Victor Belfort.
Yeah, 17 years old.
So scary.
He was my training partner, was 17 years old, and he was good.
Mm.
Really good.
So did you know when he made his UFC debut?
That yes, I was there. He's in my corner, I believe, when I defending my title in Extreme Fighting, or my first fight in Extreme Fighting, him and Carson are in my corner. Mm. He was 17 years old.
Wow.
I mean, even that, you know, who, I mean, how are you having Carson Gracie in your corner? I mean, man.
Carson Gracie and you in his corner.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah. Him. Amazing. I mean, Carson actually being my corner, being my main coach, my second man.
Mm.
And there's no way that you're going to lose it.
No way, no way. How much did that shape you as a coach now?
Oh, definitely, yes, definitely. It has such of an influence on my... I mean, I got to say that is a combination of things. Definitely my personality, my background, but their mentality, their vision, you know, to be able to see things ahead and create and change and modify and whatever it is necessary for you to become better than yesterday. Yeah, definitely has a lot to do with him. You know, living together, living in the same house, getting ready for fights, doing camps together. I was not just not having him as my coach for the fight, but the conversations we had, the way he, I was able to be present and blessed to have him telling me, you should see things this way, you know, and don't be afraid to do this and change. And, you know, fighting is not exactly sometimes what you see, but it's what you hear. And, I mean, things then I got to say then it's kind of was very private conversations we had.
Mm. And what would he think of American Top Team now?
What I think?
What would Carson?
Oh, he'll be happy. I think he'll be so proud because it is an extension from his legacy. You know, like I say, I believe that his good, great coaches around then coming from him. You know, and I think when you see from the results, it's just like, oh my God! And you're gonna see in the what he came from, who's behind him, Carson Gracie.
Mm.
You know, so I don't think that I can find a word to say, you know, how happy or how proud he'll be.
Yeah. What was your first fight like? Talk to me through that. Where was it and who was it against? Do you remember?
Who was against? I was in the tournament. There was only two shows existing in the United States. Was UFC, of course, and I was never going to be able to fight UFC because Royce Gracie, you know, was created by his brother, Horton Gracie. So he's not going to bring another guy from, you know, Brazilian heavyweight to fight Royce Gracie, you know. Anyway, so was another show called Extreme Fighting Battle Cage. Was only two. Mm. Nothing more than two. Is one or the other. So I was invited to fight on the tournament for the heavyweight tournament on the Extreme Fighting. I ended up bringing Carson Gracie Jr. and Zé Mário on the welterweight, 185, I believe it was, or light heavyweight. I'm not sure who was. I think it was, yes, it was Igor Zanovia.
Mm-hmm.
He was the 185. Exactly. That was the tournament for 185. Anyway, I trained so much, you know, from, like I say, he made us train everything all the time. It was not only jiu-jitsu, but swimming, lifting, boxing, kickboxing, wrestling, whatever you call, was on schedule. As emotions, yes, I was extremely happy to have him as my head coach. But fighting was never the moment at a fight was never my my problem. I never had a problem to feel that all the emotions to go through. It's never. Not that I'm special. I just have a better or different way to deal with the emotions. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it's impossible. Oh, I don't feel anything. Of course you do. You're alive. You feel. You have blood in your veins. You're going to feel something. What makes the difference is how you choose to feel or how you deal with that. So there was never a issue in myself in any situation, fighting, you know, before the fight or in the fight. I always had a pleasure, had a blast. I felt good about it.
Yeah. And how do you try and coach that into your fighters now?
The fact that I know and it works for me, I don't know if it's going to work for you, but I believe then the first step is to try to, at least try, to make people see the same situation from a different angle. If I make you think about it, what works for me, I'm winning. I got what I need to. Because I'm going to call your attention for something else, then you probably pay attention. And it's one thing that I tell everybody. I say, listen, the fighting game is a few of emotions, full of emotions. You're going to always going to have. So my question is, how many fights do you need to have under your belt to say, I'm in control of everything? No. 500 fights, I'm not going to feel nervous anymore. It's not going to be up and down. Guts, you know, my mind is going to explode with so many questions. And, you know, am I right? Did I eat right? Did I train right? Did I sleep right? Did I kiss right? And did I go to the bathroom right? Did I pee right? Did I shit right? Always going to be there. It is part of a big moment. It is a moment that is ready to create. It's a moment that is ready there. You walk inside the moment. And so that means you're never going to be able to change what is bigger than you. Mm. What you can change is how you face the moment, how you deal with the moment, because that is your option. So put it this way. I tell my guys, listen, if today you're fighting and, you know, the week of the fight comes by and you are getting close to the weigh-ins and you're getting close to the fight day, more closer you get to the day, more the ghosts will be around you, especially when you walk through the dress room or the fighting room, and they're going to be out there waiting for you. It's not one that's going to be missing. And each ghost represents one type of feeling. It is two choices, and decide by you, or you're going to embrace them, or you're going to say, you know what, once I got to see you every day, every time I come over here, we're going to be a team. We're going to become friends. I'm going to feel okay to feel the questions. I'm going to feel okay to feel the heartbeat, you know, going high as much as can be high. I'm going to feel okay to have all the questions. I'm going to feel all the nervous. And you're going to feel okay. It is the formula. Then I say, you know what? Let's like the things you don't like it. And once you got to know them, once you got to embrace them, you become the 21 against one. Because if you're not, you got to go through 20 rounds extremely exhausted. You're going to fight every single one, every single time you get to the fight day. And you have another big round, the ones waiting for the outside, waiting for you outside, physically. So imagine, right here, I fought 20 rounds. What do I have left in my body to fight three rounds physically? Nothing. That's the reason why you see a lot of the guys looking in great shape, but mentally, they have nothing. Mm. They're so exhausted. But physically, they look good. But right here, the tank is empty. So pretty much that's it. It is a simple way for you to, of course, in a knowledge way to make people understand. But I believe then always had a very, always embraced them. You know, we became like a buddy. I was like, hey, make sure you're here next time. Don't miss it.
You start getting used to those emotions and relying.
Exactly. Getting used to it and probably be the definition of it in this case is probably being, say, I'm okay with you. maybe because you make me feel bad doesn't mean that I gotta dislike you. Because if I dislike you, I'm the one losing. So you know what? Even what you're offering is not something that good, I'm still gonna like it. Because I know I gotta deal with you. I gotta face you. We gotta be together. So if I have the choice to have you on my side or you against me, I want you on my side. Because I know when I'm walking through the, cage, I'm going to be 21 times bigger than my opponent. Mm. That was my always my mentality in everything I do. I say, nah, that's okay. Pain is good. Suffering is good. Don't think that I'm crazy. It's not about being crazy. Just being smart, being intelligent. You know, be able to change yourself from a different angle and still seeing the same thing.
Mm. So if you're... if you're going into a fight and you're expecting to have 20 psychological opponents that you've got to defeat before you step in there to deal with that pressure, all of those different emotions, is there something that you would do to try and get those emotions on board and make friends with those emotions in training camp before you get there?
Of course, yes. It's like training. It's like creating apps for your brains. It's the same thing. You have to think about it. Because as much as I can reproduce the time of the fighting, having you doing 25 minutes of pure MMA, the pressure, the moment is still not, I can't bring 20,000 people and all the glamour, all the lights and everything. I can't bring him side, but I can start talking to you during the camp and the training and make you feel then that day is coming and it's okay. Then you are okay with that. Because that's what it really takes away from you. It's not the biceps, it's not the legs, it's not the punch. It is the mind. It is how you feel about it, how you see it, how you listen. That's what it really drains you out of the fight.
Mm. And this week we've had some conversations that will stay in my brain forever, the conversations we've had this week. So thank you for that. But the one thing that stood out to me is that you use a lot of analogies. You liked you talked about MMA as being several languages that you have to speak fluently, and you spoke about being a conductor of an orchestra. Like, where did those analogies come from, and do you use them for your fighters, or are they for your own understanding?
I'll say then probably I use that for my fighters and for people to understand, because it is you see, music is something that doesn't matter if you're a fighter or not, everybody likes. And the music, the fighting has a lot to do with that. If you translate to music, of course, it is a way for you to understand not only the fighting aspect, the, you know, up and down notes, because that's fighting. You know, fighting is not only just one note, straight line, goes up and down, takes down, bring it up, throw a punch, combination, takes down, and you go on and on and on like that. That is pretty much what happens in a fight. And the part of what I say is got to be fluent, because also it is a question and answer back and forth. What is the different language? It is the different styles. You know, back then, you know, if you are just a black belt in jiu-jitsu, that would be your strong language. Then you will talk over or you speak over any language and you get what you want. Kind of a Royce Gracie time. Doesn't matter who was coming, he was able to fix it just because jiu-jitsu is very flexible. But nowadays you can do that, you know, right? Nowadays, it's not such a thing. What's your background? Everything? Well, everything. I speak every single language as my natural language from my country. Every country is your country. So if you don't have that mentality, of course you're going to say, but you comparing a guy that has 15 years in wrestling, how do you going to make a guy and turn him in 3 months? When I say speak fluent, is more understanding than speaking. So in 3 months, I can make you understand to the point then you can neutralize and defy what is the strong things he has against you. So saying that, it is a game that you have to study. You have to see as a science. MMA is not something that you say, okay, let's throw punches and kicks and takes down and submissions. No, that is a part of. That is the tools, that is the instruments. But you got to know how to play the instruments. You got to know when every instrument gets the time to play the note. And that is fighting. So when I talk to people that has no understanding about fighting, through that analogy, they say, man, I now I can see it. Now I can understand what he's saying. Because, you know, it's just easy for us fighters and coaches to understand that. But, you know, I like to people to give the information. I like make people like, well, what are they watching?
Yeah. And as a conductor, how does that help you understand how to build teams around fighters? I mean, you've explained the process that you've put in place here at American Top Team, which is it's amazing. It makes a lot of sense because obviously you need several coaches for one fighter, but every one fighter needs one head coach, and you're that head coach for a lot of fighters. But you also have other musicians that you can put in place to, you know, to complete the orchestra.
Put it this way, I'm going to answer you in two ways the same question. Every single fight, it is a different movie. What a movie has to do with fighting, because it is a different movie. Different opponent means a different script, a different character than you have to play. If you are a striker, pure striker, and every single time you fight, presenting your strike, what's going to happen? You're going to become an easy book to be read. So I'm going to say, the only thing that Dan does is striking. He doesn't have ground. He doesn't have wrestling. He doesn't have any defense. Man, I'm going to eat you alive, because I'm going to create a song that is going to play much more than just strike, and you're not going to be able to play the music. When it comes about create a song, you know, play, I think the way to say it is like a symphony, You have to have instruments from everywhere. And coaches are together. Not doesn't make me above them, but it makes us work together. We all know the part in the symphony we have to play. The violin is going to play one part. The piano is going to play another different part. The drum is going to play a different part. And that's what we build the script for that next fight. Every single fight has to have a different song. And what I say about conducting, you know, it is when you get and you know the instrument, there's nothing to do with being more or less, better or worse. No, everybody has their own way to play the instrument. So when I see for this type of song that I need to put it together, I'm going to bring exactly the best guy I have to play that part. So we have this rotation, you have this quality of great coaches, because they don't only play the instrument, but they also are coaches. So it's not that I'm getting my second team. No, I'm rotating my A team. Everybody plays extremely, extremely great. So it makes it easy to create anything for that specific fight.
Yeah. And what's it like running a gym like this? I mean, this is probably it's the best gym in the country without a doubt. Probably the best gym in the world.
Can I get the best gym in the planet?
The best gym in the planet, thank you. Without a doubt.
I'm being humble. I'm just kidding. I do respect any gym, any place that, you know, any team. I have a deep respect to anybody. Yeah. I was just playing.
Yeah. It's difficult to compare different gyms because the structure that you have at this gym seems very different to anywhere else I've been. A lot of the time, the fighters kind of gravitate towards their own coaches and build their own teams within the big gyms. Whereas when a fighter walks into this place, I mean, I'm not an American Top Team fighter, not right now. But as I walked into
You don't know who you are.
When I walked in the gym on Monday and sat down with you, immediately I felt like I was a part of the team, and we already started talking about planning training camp and moving into the dorms and stuff. I mean, like, you take the fighters in and you embrace them and you look after them in a way that I've never felt in another gym before. Like, is that conscious? Are you aware of that?
We are family, man, besides anything. A very, very family. Thai family. as much as everybody here probably, and I'm going to be nice to say in the way, probably have the same goal. In the end of the day, we know that we need each other. And it's the only way to go after any dream become reality is if we have each other. Doesn't matter if I have five guys in the same division and they all want to be champions or they want to be the champion. At some point, everybody's going to have the chance. But we are family. Like I say, you come from China, you come from Japan, you come from wherever you come from. Your last name is American Top Team. Doesn't matter what. So that is a not option. You don't have the option to be not like that. You have to. If you want to be part of the family, that's the only option you have. And you don't have a choice to choose a different option. So, yeah, you know, we have situations in all the time we have two, three guys getting really close to the title shot, but that doesn't make us act as enemies. We find a way to adjust and accommodate every situation. It's just a matter of structure. It's just a matter of put it this way. You have two kids then, and your old kid is time to go to college, and you're going to say, no, yeah, I want you to be a doctor, so I'm going to pay your college. So comes your second kid and say, hey, Dad, now is my time to go to college. Say, no, why am I going to send you to college if I already send your brother? I don't want to spend that money. Are you being fair? Are you being a good dad? Of course not. Doesn't matter who it is and what division he's fighting. They all have the same right to make their dream become reality. And it's us to make them have everything that we can make it possible, even the impossible, to achieve their dream.
So it's an equal opportunities, Jim.
Yes, of course, yes. Of course, yes. There's no doubt about it. Mm. How am I going to take you here and say, you got away for 10 years because him in your division is already the champion. So you know what? If it comes about for you to fight to become the number one in the division, we're not going to allow you to do that. How can I do that? Mm. No, I cannot. I actually, that is the problem that I want to have every week. I want to have my kids fighting for the first place. That means they are amazing. They're incredible. You know what I mean? Of course, training will be separate. Coaches will be different coaches. And we have such a way to organize everything. Then really doesn't interfere in any. Doesn't. It's no bad on that at all.
It's something that has stuck in my mind since yesterday. I was having a conversation with one of the guys with the Bet365 crew that were here shooting with Amanda. And he came over to me yesterday and he sat down and he said, I have two daughters. And before I came out here, I wouldn't have wanted them to get involved in MMA before. But when I walked into this gym, the first thing that stood out to me is that male and female fighters are on the same level. There's no difference between. And because of all the sports that he walks across, he can see differences in tennis and soccer. He sees the differences in all these different sports. But in MMA, there's no difference between male and female.
I will say that my answer probably be go a little bit farther than that. I think that the difference that is made by you. You the one makes the difference. When you don't have a high self-esteem, you don't look for to go after the things you want to go. Doesn't matter if you're a female or male. That is not the question. It's just a matter of female and male. I think goals and dreams are... Everybody has the same right. What are we talking about? Why woman is going to be less than a man's? Because what? Amanda Nunes, the only female champ, and with the history behind her, defending her belt, of course, yes. But it's not the question about the best. I want to have females, males, and your preference, your sexual preference, I don't care. That's not my problem. I really don't have anything that divides one thing from the other. I see them fighters. I see them equally the same. Exactly the same. It's not such a thing, because females are behind, and I don't think so. Actually, you know, if you watch some of the female fighters, you say, my God, I wish I have a card with just females, because they're not looking for fighting, they look for killing.
Yeah.
Females are the only fighters on the planet. When they fight each other, it's not about, let me knock you out. Let me kill you. Let me get the soul out of your body in one punch. So, of course, never.
Yeah.
It's equal in every single thing. From training to whatever you mention is exactly the same. We don't have that kind of discrimination, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't even like the word. I think it's just that we are in 2019 to still have the discrimination as a word. That is against my policy.
Mm. So, talking about stealing someone's soul with one punch, what was it like when Amanda Nunes first walked in the gym? When did you first meet her? Did you immediately have a connection with her?
I was, even when she came from a different gym before, and even when she was at the gym, we always had my eyes on her, because I knew then, and for the fights then I watched it, and she was like, man, she has something that tells me that she's going to make it. If I say, oh, I knew she was going to be champ, I'm going to be lying. Definitely, I didn't know. But, you know, I think that I can feel the vibration when I see a winner. I see a champion. But that time, you know, we didn't even talk to each other, because she was in a different team. When she came to ATT, we started having a talking, you know, but it was still very superficial, wasn't there. And time went by, we got to get close to each other. And always we had talks. Even it was, I believe, the first fight then I got involved with her was when she fought Sarah McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when was there, like 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that our relation went from fighting and coach to papa and daughter right there.
Yeah.
And just got beyond of that. Nowadays it's just, we talk by eyes. You know, we just know exactly what the other one's thinking, what we want to do it. You know, sometimes it looks like then she's thinking the same thing I'm thinking. It's just a matter of talking. You know what I mean? It's kind of a strange, but we have such a connection, you know, then he's beyond just like fighting and coach.
Yeah. And when you first started talking to her about what she wanted to achieve in MMA, you know, there were talks about obviously the bantamweight title, and Ronda Rousey was at the top at the time, but Cyborg was also a name that was floating around that was very respected. How did you kind of decide that path that Amanda was going to walk?
I believe we both did it together, you know, not exactly choosing names and choosing fights. It was just a matter of going through fights first, you know, step by step. When she fought Valentina the first time, it was the same card, if I'm not wrong, then Diaz for McGregor. She was the third fight to the end on that card. And I had the feeling that winning that fight will make her the next opponent for Misha Tate, then was the champion. Yes, she was the champion at the time. And Valentina is an extremely dangerous fighter when you really don't pay attention. But when you put a study on her and you kind of finds the steps to make her go make her do for you so you can win the fight, kind of makes it easy on that. Anyway, we had Valentina in the first round. We had Valentina in the second round. On the third round, when I sat, Amanda down, Amanda, like, what are, I'm going to do this. I'm going to say, no, you're not going to do nothing of that. You're just going to jab, move, because I knew I was 100% sure that I had two rounds on my pocket. I mean, I'm not going to waste that for nothing. I don't want to finish Valentin. I don't want to knock her out. I just want to win the fight for Inami's decision, because I knew Inami's decision would give me the credential, or give the credential to Amanda to fight for the title. Done. So she did exactly what I asked her to do. Comes the title. And that time frame, that time when we find out that we're fighting Misha Tate for the title, and a lot of the conversations, you know, of course it was not like, oh, let's do this in 2 years. No, but we knew then what we had together, you know, as a team, we could go farther as we want. It was no limit. Higher, beyond the sky. Let's do it. And even Cyborg name came in the conversation, going to the division above. So the good thing about it, that we never really did something, think about something else. It was just, we talk, you put on the side, let's work what is coming in the front of us right now. And pretty much being like that, you know, Misha Tate, Ronda Rousey, Cyborg, Raquel Pennington, every single challenge has to, you know, being like that. You know, it is about the harmony we have. It is about the way we see together. It's just, I think it's just the symphony is just on the right note.
And what about UFC 200 fight week? I mean, that must have been a very strange week for you with all the changes on the card. And
the 200 when she fought Misha? Uh-huh. Yeah, we were the third fight on the card.
Did you have the tattoo? Did I see that as well?
The 200? Yes, I have the 200 and I have the 232.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we three have, me, her, and Nina. Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, but you know what? We were so prepared for any change, for anything. Nothing, I mean, we got there a week before the fight. We decide for her to get acclimated and this and that. So you're there, you went spinning class, you went to the mountains. We did like so many things, we three together, me, Amanda, Nina. We were so prepared. We are so mentally, spiritually, physically in the such of a high right note that nothing could disturb us. So change, it was like co-main event, main event. They say, oh, you just got to fight, you know, you'll be the main fight now. Cool. Let's do it.
Cool.
I mean, she was prepared then. Yeah. The whole camp was just amazing. It was just on point. It was nothing less, nothing more. It was just perfection.
So tell me about the rematch with Valentina then, because it seems to me, looking from the outside, that Valentina stylistically is probably the most difficult opponent that Amanda's faced. And she's faced her twice, the second one over five rounds. And when I was talking to Amanda about it, it seemed like maybe she felt it was important, or maybe her camp felt it was important for her to go five rounds with
Valentina.
It
was intentional, Dan.
It was intentional.
It was very intentional.
Why was that? What was the decision?
Because every single fight that Amanda had before in the past, she was kind of she created a reputation of I call the Mike Tyson reputation. Then you pay $100 to watch Mike Tyson back then, and you know, then you cannot blink, you cannot go in the bathroom, you can't even reach for the popcorn because probably the fight will be finished. So everybody was questioning the new champion being, you know, with no physically ready in shape. I'm gonna say, I kind of pissed me off. Because, you know, especially me, then deal with her directly every day. I mean, close a father can be to the daughter. So I know what I have. I know what she's capable to do. And I say, you know what? Okay, let me get the worst or the most difficult fighter, what everybody's saying. And let me make her prove to everybody through her. Then we can hang 5, 10 rounds. I don't care. So intentionally, I'm not saying that because I want to be bragging or old. I'm not trying to be cocky or anything, but was intentionally ready to fight 5 rounds. I want her to prove that a champion can have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever was necessary, she'll be ready to fight. And her preparation was that. Not that I'm not saying, oh, if you have the chance to knock her out, don't do it. Of course not. But I want her to be ready for the five rounds. I want her to stretch the fight and have chances to do it and keep going and keep showing. Mm. And it works perfectly.
And did you see a difference in her psychologically after that? Because it almost, from the outside again, it seemed like there was a hurdle that she got over. Like, I can do 25 minutes, and it was like she took a step forward in her career.
I don't think the question was about her feeling about herself. It was just for her to say, now then I prove you guys, everybody then I'm able to do. Can you guys shut up, please? Pretty much was that. Not then she had, I don't think that in any time Amanda has any doubt about her making 25 minutes. It was not the question, because if something is not going right, I'm the number zero on that list to say something right away. And she knows that. So that was not the question. It was just a matter of, I'm doing for you guys. I'm not doing this fight for myself. I'm doing for you guys to see what I'm capable to do. Mm. And she did. Mm. And she, was perfect note by note, was just in the right place.
So what about the cyborg fight? Who was that for? And did she play according to the music?
100%.
Yeah.
We knew, let's put it this way, because most of the time when you say something about the fight, then you already had it, and the result, and it was 51 seconds, people say, man, he's such a cocky. He's such a this. No, I think that I have explanation. Everything has to have explanation. Nothing happens, and I think in general in life, just because happening. No. Anyway, so Cyborg, we knew then she was going to come angry, number one. We knew then she was thinking in her mind, the first thought that she had in her mind, when Amanda sees me the other side from the cage, she's going to be shitting her pants. 100%. Because Cyborg, it is Cyborg. I mean, I'm not going to take anything away from her.
I'm shitting my pants for sure.
Yes, but Amanda wasn't.
No.
Amanda wasn't. So in the camp, we create situations, we create a type of instruments and music that could make Amanda listen better. So I knew then in five rounds, we were going to get her. It was just a matter of when and how. But we knew she was going to get her. Of course, again, if you ask me, 51 seconds was your goal. I take it. I'm very grateful for that. But I didn't know that was going to happen right in the beginning of the round. We knew then Cyborg could never be in a position of being provoked. So when we provoke her, that's when you really make her feel, I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to turn the lights off. And I'm going to go to the bar. And I'm going to fight everybody without seeing who is in front of me. That was our main point. When she did that, that was what brought her to Amanda in the search of wisdom, because Amanda was aware of that. She knew exactly where and how to get to Cyborg. Mm. You can't fight somebody like Amanda with your eyes closed. You can't fight with your eyes open. Imagine if you close.
Yeah, terrifying.
Very, as you, not, don't go by what I'm saying, but if you look the fight, and I believe you guys really watch the fight more than once, you don't see any inch of nervous, you don't see inch of, doubts, precision. Listen, note here and there. Perfectly in the right place. Mm.
And I know we spoke about it the other day, but the photo's right there, and it's on the wall as you walk in the gym as well. It's one of my favorite photos in mixed martial arts, genuinely, because I think it's so iconic. Not only that Amanda's got both belts, and that she's clearly so very emotional in that moment, but she came straight to you. You were the person that she came to.
Yeah, that was a thank you, Dad. It was. All this, then we put it together, all we went through, and all the doubts. Because, she's from the beginning, she when she fought Misha, to the time she fought Cyborg, was, I don't understand why, maybe, I have no idea, but she always had the, to have, she always shows to me, then she always has to prove something to somebody, you know, and then people's like, oh man, she can't be that good. But maybe what do you want? What do you, I mean, what else do you want her to do it? I mean, look the opponents. What did she do to Ronda Rousey? 47 seconds. I mean, think was lucky. I mean, I would prefer for her to give me the six numbers from lottery and say, let me play the number, you know, but 47 seconds. And, you know, that was, means a lot. That was, you know, was some words exchanged between us in the moment. And that was a thing that for, you know, I say, you know, we haven't finished yet. We're never going to finish this business. Nothing between us is going to, even when she stops fighting, you know, she's part of my family, deep, like, inside. She goes to my house, knows my wife, my kids, and she's like my daughter in the home, you know, gets sleeping. So yes. That is, it's not just fighting, you know, but it was a moment. It was incredible because nobody, when I say nobody, I'm getting... I think that we, American Top Team, represent that 0.5% of the 100, because 99.9.9.5 would say, you guys are crazy. You facing Cyborg, she's going to have Amanda for dessert. I'm like, okay. I went through the week. I mean, it was just more and more and more shit coming, you know, towards us. I'm like, cool. They moved the fight from Vegas to LA. That was no problem at all. It was all good. That's good. Let's go. Still the same strategy, the same mind. So, yeah.
So after that fight then, so at that point now, winning the belt off Misha Tate, knocking out Rousey in seconds, and then beating Cyborg... You would think a lot of fighters in that circumstance would feel like they've nothing else to prove now. Yet, if you talk to Amanda, it's almost like she's still a contender. Like, she wants to give Cyborg a rematch. She wants to fight Holly Holm. What drives her at this point?
I will say then I have a better definition in a way than you say about she feels as a contender. Amanda has her feet on the ground. Nothing of this... champ glamour and all this famous and most the GOAT and blah 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 really got to her mind, you know. It's one thing then I tell my guys, I say, listen, doesn't matter what happens, don't ever let that pass your ear. Anything that passes your ears goes to your head. Keep right below your ear, don't allow anything. That's what keeps you with your feet on the ground. If you want to move forward and you want to keep going, your mind has to be in the right place. Because if you let that 5 seconds comes right here, you end up forgetting what you're doing there. Why are you here? And I think then because that she's still, I mean, she's fresh as she's going for her first fight as the first challenge in front of her. Holly Holmes definitely is a... 5-4, then she's fighting for the title. It's not the other way. She's hungry. I want to go after her. I want to take her. Like Holly Holm was the champ.
Mm. And what about your other champions? I mean, right on the wall behind you, you've got Tyron Woodley's welterweight title there. How are your fighters different? How are your champions different from each other?
They all play different music. They all play different instruments. They all have different minds, different goals. When I say different goals, it's different goals to how to get your goal accomplished. And you have to understand, it's like, go back to the example I gave you about your two kids. Come from the same mother, from the same belly, same process of 9 months, but are they different? And if you try to make them the same, you end up helping them to lose identity with themselves. You got to use that. You got to see that for a better way to get them to do the best they can. Mm-hmm. So my interpretation or my reading is always different. You know, I'm not sitting here and I'm trying to make you exactly like her or exactly like Marjeta or exactly like Kobe. No, I can't do that. but I have to able to understand who you are. And I think that's what gets myself really in your life. Of course, you know, I respect your privacy, but I need to know about you, who you are, because that's what you, that's the way I can bring you to here and do the best you can.
Mm. You mentioned Colby there, and obviously Tyron was the former welterweight champ as well. And you've had other I mean, Robbie Lawler was here as well for a time. How is it when you've got a few fighters in the same weight class, and then obviously when you've got someone like Colby who likes the trash talking and likes to get under people's skin? Do you as a head coach?
He's a different son.
He is, yeah.
He's a different kid.
Do you have to manage that in any way, or do you just kind of step back and let them?
Once it doesn't affect the team, and he has no problem with anybody over here, you know? I mean, you choose. Then some people like heavy metal, some people like classic music. That's your choice. How are you going to play? You're going to have some people that say, I hate heavy metal, and some people say, I hate classic music. Some don't like to say anything. He loves to talk about it. Mm. He loves to promote himself. Do I think that he's right or wrong? I don't know. He's doing to himself. That's his name. He has all the right to talk about whatever. Once the team is not, the team becomes untouchable, the team becomes not part of his talking.
Mm.
You know, you can promote yourself the way you want. It is about, I mean, if you think about MMA today, you think then if you don't stretch the 15 minutes to as much as you can, you're just showing something for 15 minutes. And right after that, it's over.
Yeah.
He knows how to stretch the 15 minutes really good. Mm. I mean, he got the interim champion. He's been proving everything that he said. What are you going to say about him?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and what about the belts that you're chasing at the moment? There are a couple of belts that you're after at the moment. Obviously, we've got Maheta coming up.
I mean,
soon.
After every single belt, then yeah. don't take the wrong way. I am after every single division, every single promotion. I want it, and I don't have no shame to say that. People, it is what. Let me give you a little bit of why I'm saying that. When you are in the house, when you have the Ultimate Fighting Championship, or the Ultimate Fighting in the house, American Top Team against Black Zillions, was the only time in history there was two teams against each other. All the tooth has to be, you know, individuals, not team. Was a point then we were losing every fight, every week. Fighting, every time you fight and lose, you have to fight on the enemy's field.
Mm-hmm.
So you were there, basically almost getting a VIP card and say, you guys more than welcome to come over here. That was American Top Team. But through that time, the 6 weeks that we filmed that, I never, never for 1 second came to my mind then, you're not going to win. Even I know we're losing. I mean, man, we're losing, and losing can be losing even more than that. But it didn't cross my mind 1 second, and we're going to really turn everything around, and we're going to win. And it was a part of my talking to the fighters then. I was getting pissed. I was getting angry. And I say, listen, you have to be psycho at the psycho level to win. And win everything. It's nothing to be ashamed than when you think then the only thing is important in your life is to be number one. Once you do in the honest society, you do it in the right way, in not stepping, robbing, getting anything from anybody, why you should be afraid to say that? You have to win, and you have to win every single time. No, nothing in this planet has first champion, second champion. It's just one place. And if you're not after that place, don't even show up. And that's my mentality.
Mm.
You have to go for it. You have to go for it. And not be ashamed. That is not being crazy. That is not being ashamed. That is not being... you have to have that drive. What are you doing? If you want to be a doctor, don't you want to get A+ and every single time you do, you know, you don't want to be the doctor, or you want to be a doctor? I tell my kids, in life is only two groups, an A and the B. The A, they are the 10 guys only. It's not 9 or 11. It's only 10. They are the champions. They are the number one. They are the best. And the B group is the millions and trillions of people. They are screaming and have no directions about anything, but they want to be something, but they're not willing to do the sacrifice of the 10. You choose each group you want to go. That is life in general. It's not only fighting. Each group you want to go, A or B. That's not my choice. That is your choice. I want to be A to the day I was born and the day I'm going to die. And even after life, I still want to be A. I don't know if something's wrong with me, but I believe that. But I believe that it should be your nature. That should be you. How you are in the fighting business with the division, then you just want to fight. Mm-hmm. Fight in the street. Fight in the gym. You're here to win. You're here to get a first place. Keep it. Not just get there. Stay there. Because the fun doesn't start after you get there. Just when you get there, that's when the fat lady is going to start singing. Well, let's see who's going to go, who's going to get out first.
Talking about number one then. We've got belts in here right now.
I'm sorry. Yes.
No.
You went back to the question. I don't know if I answered the question.
That's all right. Everything you say, it just fascinates me, and it takes my brain in so many different directions. So it's, you know, there are so many questions I could ask you. Yesterday you came in here and you were showing me the belts though, and you were talking about how you're gonna set your office up, your plans for the walls, and
they're right there. You just not seen.
This is what I loved about it. It was because you were talking about belts that you haven't yet got. And you've already got a place for them on the wall. How important do you think it is to decide those things, like start manifesting those?
Let me ask you something. Even I don't have them physically, I get them right here. I gotta have it. My mind cannot allow me to think about what we're doing together and not having the belt. I can't allow. That is not. It's like, I'm gonna go to the fight and I'm gonna lose the fight. What? No, of course not. I refuse that. My refusing that, it doesn't make me a sore loser. No, it's not what I'm saying. But I don't give an inch of thinking about losing. It doesn't cross my mind. My 100%, my energy, what I'm doing is so there. I'm not going to think 1%. If it happens, happens. It's not because I was thinking before, just because it happened. But right now, I'm seeing the belts exactly what I want to put on my wall. And I will.
And you were saying that Maheta's belt's going on the wall.
Right here in the back.
Yeah.
Tyrone is going to go over there. Mm-hmm. Amanda's going to come over here. Nina is going to come over here. And Colby, I'll find a place. And still got a Formiga coming. Moicano's coming. So, yes. Mm. I mean, that is my right to think like that. Why am I going to be like, you're going to say, but Maheta is fighting John Jones. I agree. It's a difficult fight. It is a tough fight. John Jones is John Jones. But I have been in that place where the people really don't believe what things can happen. It happens.
Do you think that's a good place to be? Do you like being
always,
there as a coach?
I always love that.
Yeah.
Always.
And always. Do you feel like there's more doubt around Maheta against John Jones?
It is not. Let me explain to you the reason why I say to be in that place or at that place. It's not that it makes me work more or believe more. Naturally, I do. I don't need to be in that place. But I believe in believing. If, you know, anything happens, that is the first answer for any question about any results. So anything happens. Any half a punch can knock you out and put you to sleep for 2 days. Yes, I know that. But if I don't believe what are we doing here, man, what am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? Wasting my time? I do believe that Maheta is going to shock the world. I believe that he's going to come over there and he's going to say, holy moly, what happened?
And do you prefer those fights where there's
a lot of
doubt?
I love it. Yeah. That is the fights then you really show who you are. Challenge is not supposed to be a problem. Challenge is supposed to be the result. Challenge is supposed to get you high as high can be. That is what makes you. That's you need the problems. You need that kind of a challenge. How are you going to really go to the next step if you don't go through that? People has a kind of funny way to define words. I love the problems. But I mean, problems like that, I love it. Because that's what makes you, brings you the best. Things that you don't even know that you have on you comes and shows up when that problem on that challenge comes to you.
So do you think there's more doubt around Mehta fighting John Jones than there was against Amanda going in against Cyborg? Do you think
I would say doubt? Probably will be on the level. I'd probably be very similar as doubts, you know, the 99.99, half 9.9.9.9. Yes, I do.
And does that doubt make you feel? Does it
doesn't affect me anything?
Doesn't affect you?
Nothing. Zero. I don't have the time to be affected for that kind of thinking. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. My mind is so much on the, you know, we creating, we changing, we getting better, we understanding, we reading. I don't put 1 second of my energy on my thinking on the other side. Zero. Zero. Zero is a lot. I'm putting zero, so I'm giving something. Mm. But nothing more than that.
And is that a choice?
Not underestimating him. I don't want anybody to get confused. Oh, he thinks then I'm not thinking anything, but I'm thinking what I got to do here because I know what I got to do there.
And is that a choice for you? Do you make that decision that it's not going to affect you because you want to set that example for your fighters?
Because I love it.
Yeah?
I love it. I love the challenge. I mean, if I'm in love with the challenge, how the challenge is going to affect me in a negative way? Not at all. Mm. I mean, it has a little bit to do with the way I am. Yes, I'm not. Yeah, but being so many battles and wars and people not believing you just got me strong. Mm. Make me more strong than before. I learned that, you know what? I'm the one decides if I'm going to allow them to get to me. They don't have anything. They cannot say anything or do anything then. Is going to affect me if I don't want you. Mm. So if I give you the permission, yes. But if I don't...
And what about the international fighters that come here? So Brad Pickett is obviously one of my favorites.
I love Brad. I love Brad. He's my... Man. I was sad when... I mean, it wasn't sad. It was the time for him to stop fighting. But I knew I was going to miss him. Mm. You know, my God, I was... what a good friendship we have. What a good time we have. What a journey. I mean, I love Brad.
Yeah. And what about the other international fighters, the likes of Joanna and Kyoji Horiguchi? Do you like having the international fighters come here? Is there a challenge with the language barrier?
No, not really. I think then it's kind of funny because, you know, we are a team that we have thousands of people from thousands of places coming all the time. And we always find the time or find the way to communicate, and the communication always gets to be the best. They doing what we want them to do it. I don't think that is the problem. You know, I mean, like I say, we are family at the end of the day. So in some way, if I have to draw, if I have to, you know, whatever I got to do to make that to work, I mean, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Kyoji, you know. Kyoji is what an incredible fighter. Join the same thing. I think that she's probably be back soon and be going after, you know, her goals and dreams, you know, happens. Mm.
So who gave you the nickname Conan?
Carson Grace. First day he saw me, I believe I was 14.
14. You've had the nickname since you were 14.
14. He saw me get into the gym and he said, man, he looked like Conan. I didn't have long hair or anything like that, which just then... we had a thing in the Carson Grace team, you know, before, you know, years ago. I mean, years and years when he was alive, then he'll find a nickname to everybody. He never called people by his own name, and Con was to today. If you ask for myself my name, people are like, who?
Who's Marcus?
I don't know him. I don't know him. I have no idea what it is. But when you say Con, yes, I mean. You like the dog over there?
I was just about that to dog ask is
about this. Probably a 60 years old.
Really?
If it's not more than that. I brought the dog in my lap 8 hours in the airplane when he gave to me. That was the dog that was in the old gym. What he was, you know, the owner and the main coach. I mean, I have pictures signed by him. I think that I'm the son that got everything from him besides Junior, Carson Grace Junior. But great memories, great time.
Yeah. And what about the, this is a question that came to my mind, the person on the American top team with their arms up, is that a particular person?
I no, actually it's just the, that's what you do when you win.
Yeah, because I've seen so many fighters have that tattooed now. Yeah. It's such an iconic picture.
I think everybody wants to have the arms up, you know, that means you won, we are champion. I mean, everything that you got to visualize then has to do with being first. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think the majority of problems, you know, as natural life or general life, I mean, it has to do that we forget sometimes to know ourselves a little bit more. We spend so much time in life knowing around us, and we don't shake our hands every morning. Do you say good morning to yourself? But you say good morning to everybody around you. And I think that has a lot to do with that. More you know yourself, better you live, more you achieve your dreams, more you see than you're capable to do. We depend too much, or maybe we do you choose to depend on people. Maybe because if it doesn't work, we can have somebody to say, hey, I'm blaming you because I didn't get it. And at the end of the day, it's nobody's fault. It's your fault. Your dream depends on you. Your life depends on you. Of course, you got to have support. You got to have people around you. But that doesn't mean then you depend on them to achieve what you want. I don't take that bullshit. I don't. That's not even my policy. I'm just saying because I'm sharing that with you. But I don't. I think that you are full responsible for what you want to do. Anybody. Doesn't matter being fighting or not. If you want to be a doctor, if you want to be a lawyer, if you want to be whatever, hey, it's on you. Don't get that, oh, my mom, my dad, my friend, my brother, my dog. It's bullshit. We have to realize, but that comes in out of knowledge. That comes in, you know what? Look yourself in the mirror and talk to yourself a little bit, just a little bit. Got to know you. Got to shake your hand. Get a left and right and say, what's up? How you doing? How many times we do that? How many times then you are in complete silence and you say, let me get this few minutes and just think with me. Just be me and me. Because, you know, you got to live with yourself for the rest of your life, at least for this time. And if you don't know yourself, you're sleeping with who? With the enemy? With somebody sometimes then you don't even know. And I think that is where everything starts, is that where everything comes from. Who I am to me. I don't care about the others, but it's not because I want to be selfish and be the center of everything, no. But how do you love if you don't love yourself? How do you like if you don't like yourself? Because it's like telling you, you know, that's beans. Oh, I don't like beans. Have you tried? No. How do you know you don't like it? Put a little bean in your mouth and you... If you don't like it, okay, but at least you try. But I think that is, you know, a simple thing that is life. And I think fighters on the way of the way this life is so hard and so much sacrifice that you have to do and you have to work and you have to push and stretch and lift and jump. If you really don't know who you are, my friend, you have a very short life. You're going to get over here and you're not going to be able to go up or down. You're just going to get stuck. And people be passing you and say, what happened? Why they are better? Why are they better than me? Why can't I keep moving? Because you don't know yourself. They do.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate your love, man.
I could literally sit here and talk to you all day. Honestly, this week for me, and this to everybody that's listening, this week has been eye-opening for me. Not only for me as a stubbornly non-retired fighter that would still very much like to fight again. As soon as I walk in here, we start talking about training camp and preparation. But also personal conversations, you know, conversations that I don't have with other people, just to be able to sit and have conversations with you off mic. You know, none of this has been recorded and stuff, but you're a very important person, not only to this team, but this sport, and to just people generally. And I hope that people even outside of MMA can listen to what you're saying and take a lot of it on board, because it's gold.
I appreciate it. I'm just a simple guy that try to pay attention to what life's teaching me, and I save it. I don't use a lot of space. I try to push always on the side so I can have more space to learn more. You're never going to see me, oh, I know enough and I don't need to learn anymore. No, I don't. I'm a student. I want to always be a student. And I think that is the beauty of life, learning. More you learn, better for you. More you live, more you do, more you do everything. And towards you, man, I'm just waiting for you to get over here and we can start doing your camp and let's do it. You know, we always been friends, more friends. Maybe now even more than before, but I always have you, my good friend.
Thank you, Coach. Awesome. Awesome. So good. So good. Wow. You have an amazing mind, sir.